This is it. Good afternoon, Mr. Ian Lee.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I enjoy songs that have long silences in. There's a Beach Boys song. Oh, what's the Beach Boys song? It's got massive gaps in and it was a huge flop. Anyway, that was an excellent song and so was the one you just played.
That's just what I do. How are you doing?
Well, I've been arguing with my internet provider today.
So I know.
It's been stressful. And I'm sat in my car just off the Farnham Road in Slough. Mm-hmm. It's a glamorous location. And I'm about to go into Costa to use their internet. So I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm blown away because what haven't you done in your 20-odd year career? The elders have tell me that you used to be on a thing called the 11 o'clock show, which
apparently
is before
so.
My time.
I've read about that.
How did you get your break?
How did I get my break? Well, I guess the 11 o'clock show was my break. I studied performing arts at university. So it's 3 years of, you know, dressing up in Greek and Roman togas and, you know, jumping on tables and singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get any acting work, so I started doing stand-up comedy by default, but I was never very good at it, but it was something to do. So I did that for a couple of years, and I got lucky and got a small little gig at a local radio station in Milton Keynes, but I didn't enjoy it. I hated it, in fact. And I left after 6 months, and on the last week I was there, this is how long ago it was, 1997, I guess, or 98, 97, a fax came through from Channel 4 saying, we are looking for comedians, presenters, DJs, we are looking to see anybody for a new late night topical comedy show. And so I got that and I gave it to my agent. I said, hey, I should go up for this. He went, nah, I don't think you're right for it. So I was like, okay. And then I went back to him a week later and said, I really think I should go for this. He went, honestly, Ian, this isn't going to be for you. Don't bother. So I got in touch with Channel 4, with the company, and I went and had an audition, and I kept going back and kept doing auditions, and that show became the 11 o'clock show, and that's how I got it. It was my last roll of the dice. I was going to quit because I was broke, and I was living at home with my mum at the age of 23, 24, really badly in debt, and it was like, if I don't get this, I'm going to go and get a proper job. But I quit. I got lucky.
Of course, TFI Friday came back a year or two ago with Chris Evans. Would you like to see it come back?
Would I like to see the 11 o'clock show come back? Nah. No, I don't think so. It was very much of its time. I mean, they're all up on YouTube. It was very hit and miss. People look back at it with rose-tinted glasses. I had the time of my life. I was 25 years old. I was on TV doing a show that I was really proud of. I was working with people that were obviously geniuses, like Daisy Donovan and Ricky Gervais and Sasha and Mackenzie Crook and Charlie Brooker and Jimmy Carr and Robin Ince, all these people that were brilliant, Paul Garner. And it was probably the most exciting 2 or 3 years of my life. Would I like to see it come back? Nah, I don't think so. I was a boy then. It was of its time, and I'm very fond of it, but I don't want to go back.
Well, from TV to radio, of course. I first was introduced to you by Three Counties Radio and your breakfast show. First question, you took over from Stephen Rhodes, who, again, a couple of months ago, sadly passed away. Was that daunting for you to take on that role?
No, it wasn't. I never met Stephen, I don't think, and there was a huge gap between me and Stephen. So I was, they were trying out other people when I went there. So there was a gap of a few months. So no, it wasn't. I'm always aware when I take over someone else's slot that, you know, a lot of listeners will be unhappy because radio, as you know, is a very intimate thing, and the listener builds up a very close relationship with the presenter. It's their presenter, you know, the people listening to you, you're their presenter. And if you were off sick one week and someone stepped in, there's naturally a resentment to the person that steps in. So every time I've taken over a new slot, I for the first 6 or 9 months, you just get a barrage of texts and emails and phone calls saying, who is this guy? He's rubbish. Get rid of him. And that's fine. What daunted me was it was the BBC. That was what I found daunting. It was my first regular gig on the BBC. So, Yeah, I found that daunting. Why were you listening to Three Counties Radio? And I don't mean that as a dig. It's genuinely interesting. You're a young man.
Yes.
And local BBC local radio is quite often perceived as being for old people. Mm. So how did you kind of stumble across?
Well, again, you're the voice of breakfast, to be honest with you. Again, I got my local news, I got my travel, whatever. Again, and the chemistry that was between you, Justin Dealey, and Catherine, and the team there was... Yeah. Was magical. It was like literally unbelievable.
Nice one, thank you, man. It took a while to get there. It took a while because when I first went there, it was never really made clear what they wanted from me. So I, you know, the first 6 months, first year, I did a very straight BBC local radio show with very little of me in. But as time went on, you know, I started flexing my intellectual and artistic muscles a bit, and the team changed, and Catherine came on board as producer, and by the end of it, it was nuts. I mean, it was a unique BBC local radio show, I think.
But of course, you're from Slough, so you would not know too much about Bedfordshire, Hertfordshire, and Buckinghamshire. Was that difficult for you, especially with it being a 6 a.m. start?
No, the local knowledge wasn't a problem because I grew up in Slough, but then. Well, I spent the first 11 years of my life in Slough, and then we moved to Farnham Common, which is kind of just on, is in Buckinghamshire. Mm. So the location didn't worry me, and I made sure if it was a local thing, I'd kind of read up on it and stuff. The 6 a.m. start, I hated. I did, for a year, it was a year, I did a TV show, a breakfast TV show called Rise, and that involved getting up at 3:15 every morning, and I kind of vowed I would never do another breakfast show. But you know, I couldn't. I said yes to this, and in the end, I managed to time my alarm to 4:26, was the latest I could set my alarm for. Getting up was horrible. I hated it, absolutely hated it. But the show was a joy. You mentioned it, you know, Kelly Betts as well was another member of the team. And it was just literally by the end, the last couple of years. It was me going in and playing with my mates for 3 hours on the radio. And, it was a joy.
And of course,
I loved it.
Of course, your second in command, Justin Dealey, now runs it on a daily basis as well. Are you still good friends with him?
He runs, did you say?
Yeah.
He goes running?
No, it's like he has your slot, basically.
Oh, okay. But no, he doesn't do the breakfast slot, I don't think. It's a guy called Andy, isn't it? I think. Anyway, I don't know. Am I still good friends with Justin? We text each other quite a bit from time to time. I've only seen him once since I left, and that's just because I left in such sad circumstances for me that for a year I couldn't even think of the place. And so I just had to shut down from it and from the people that I work with. But we text from time to time. I text Kelly from time to time. I rescued Catherine from there and brought her along to talk radio. And I see a few other people, Paul Scoynes and... that's probably it. But I left in horrific circumstances. But I have mainly good memories from there. It was a wonderful 3 or 4 years.
Mm. Of course, now you are on Talk Radio, which is a fairly new setup. How's that going?
It's the best. Of course, he's going to say that. It is the best. I have got it's a late night show, which is I've done pretty much all the slots, and for me, late night radio. 10 till 1 is the best as a listener and as a presenter. It's the best because the pressure's off you. You're not as much under the spotlight as you are with breakfast. You have more time to kind of explore ideas. And let's be honest, people that phone in tend to be lunatics. So, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. I'm doing some of the best stuff I've ever done there.
From radio to comedy, of course, you are a comedian at heart. How do you find time for it?
What, doing comedy?
Yeah.
See, I would dispute that. I mean, I did stand-up comedy, but I would never have classed myself as a stand-up comedian. It was always a means to an end. It was always because I wanted to get my own chat show or my own sitcom or some acting work. So I never, and as soon as I got the 11 o'clock show, I stopped booking gigs from stand-up comedy gigs for myself. And I don't think I'm a comedian. I called myself a comedian for a few years because I didn't know what else to call me. I didn't know what I was. But I've not called myself a comedian for about 8 or 9 years. I mean, I use the vague term broadcaster because that's what I do. And I go out and I do I do this solo show, Ian Lee Versus Radio, but it's not really a comedy show. It's sort of like a relaxed comedy lecture, I suppose. Mm. But no, I don't. I'm not a comedian. If I'm funny, then that's a lovely coincidence, and I tend to go for the gag each time. But no, I'm not a comedian. No, you've booked the wrong person, I'm afraid.
Where do you see yourself going in the future, then?
Wow, there's a question. I've kind of learned not to set my expectations too high, because they tend to end in disappointment. Where do I see myself? I could quite happily stay doing the show I'm doing at the Talk Radio for the next 10, 15 years. I love it. It feels like I've come home. Mm. But my dream would be to stay there for the next 10, 15 years, carrying on doing that slot and really making something unique, you know, doing that. Two other projects that I've got that I'm really keen to pursue and hopefully make something of are The Rabbit Hole, which is a podcast.
Yes, I was going to come on to that.
Yeah, I do it with Catherine, and it's really good fun, and it's a phone-in show, but we do it in front of an audience with about 100 people, and we've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 months, and that's a delight. I'd like to see that expand. Rabbit Hole TV is my YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRabbitHoleTV, and I'm literally just kind of starting that, and I'm working out what it is and what the technology will allow and where that can go. So I want to put up little films that I've made, little films that my listeners have made, streaming the live radio show like it's a TV show. I want to make it more into a TV show. So I want to do stuff on that. The dream would be to do the talk radio show that I'm doing, but to do it in America. So, you know, to be in New York or LA or wherever for a year and do the radio show there. Mm. So you've got a much bigger audience. You've got, I would love, the joy at winding up the Americans. It would be an absolute delight. So that's the dream. The other two, I think, are more realistic.
Mm. Well, final question. I've got to ask this as a student. Do you reckon you could get me a slot out talk radio?
Not a problem at all. I tell you what's struggling at the moment. It's the weekday mornings, 10 till 1. I can't remember the name of the woman that does it, but I reckon I could have her bumped off very quickly and do that. Is that where you see... Where do you see yourself going? Right, you're obviously very passionate about radio, which is great. Is that what you want your career to be?
I'm a jack of all trades and, well, a master of all of them, without blowing my own trumpet. I mean, I had Andrew Pearce on a couple of months ago. He tried to get me in with LBC. That didn't really go too far. But again, I studied broadcast journalism at the University of Bedfordshire, and yeah, I'm loving life. I'm covering the election day for June. I did the US one. I'm just trying to... I'm loving life, Ian Lee. And if you can get me in talk radio, brilliant. And I want to take Walsh Weekly national, if not international, and then I'll be making money so I can pay off my student
finance. You've got this... you've got more ambition than I remember being that ambitious. Don't worry, Sunshine. They'll knock it out of you. The suits will knock it out of you. That's genuinely excellent, and it's genuinely very exciting. Stay away from nighttime radio. That's mine. honestly, if you can make a career out of this, I have been so lucky. And if I hadn't got the 11 o'clock show, I would have been screwed. And then when TV came to an end, which it did, if I hadn't, you know, been handed this lifeline of going and doing a couple of weeks cover shifts at LBC, then I would be doing, in inverted commas, a normal job. You know, I've been so lucky. And to make a living out of doing something that I enjoy, that I think I'm quite good at, again, you know, without blowing my own trumpet because I don't have one, but to make a living out of what is essentially sitting in a room and showing off to my mates for 3 hours every night, I'm the luckiest person around. You know, I would never have thought I would be having this much fun at work. Well, good luck to you is what I'm trying to say. Good luck.
And it's been an absolute honour. I'll send you on my CV. Thank you so much indeed.
Hey, no, listen, man. Thank you for asking me on. I'm humbled. Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Bye-bye.